Welcome to MEC Connect. In previous episodes, we defined what a catastrophic workers' compensation claim is, who should be involved on your team, and covered the topics of investigation. In today's episode, Dr. Fernando Barranco will discuss the significance of immediate trauma care. I'm your host, Matt Yaling. I'm joined with my co-host, Patty Reinecke, and Dr. Fernando Barranco. Thanks for being here.
Hello, all. This is Patty Reinecke. I'm the Director of Client Consults and TPA Relationships here at Midwest Employers Casualty. And we are honored to have Dr. Fernando Barranco, our Chief Medical Officer, here. And I'll let him introduce himself.
Well, hello, guys. Thank you for the invitation. And here we are to discuss this very important topic. In a lot of ways, we start treating these patients when they're down into rehabilitation or even home. But we need to address these catastrophic cases as early as possible because treatment has to be proper from the beginning. That's one of the things we will discuss here today.
So why don't we jump right in? And what is the first steps to address when a catastrophic injury occurs from a medical perspective?
First thing we're going to see is going to be in whatever hospital that admitted this patient after the catastrophic injury. As you probably remember from our previous podcast, there are several types of catastrophic injury, including spinal cord injury, burns, amputations, a brain injury, be traumatic or non-traumatic, multi-trauma. All these patients will end up in an acute care hospital. Not all of them are built the same way. We'll talk about this. But the most important thing is that emergent care needs to be done at the level of care that this kind of injuries are necessary. Not all hospitals are created the same. And they shouldn't be, because we have different needs and different expertises that need to be addressed, and not every hospital can have everything. If you identify that a case is going to be a catastrophic case in any of these categories that we discussed, a strong recommendation would be, as soon as possible, get a nurse case manager on the file, preferably one that's an on-site case manager that can actually interact with the personnel in the hospital, and also can interact with family, if it's possible, and understand some of this dynamic. It seems premature to recommend this when somebody's in the ICU, but at the same time, it's a very important connection that needs to be made right away. It's very difficult to get information, be medical information, or even injury issues or problems that will have to be addressed later. And if you have a nurse case manager that's starting to make this contact, even if they're very hard in the beginning, it's an excellent thing to do. The next step that kind of goes along with the nurse case manager is open communication as early as possible. And this early communications is with the hospital and with the family. A lot of hospitals are not used to having these requests so immediate after having such a traumatic injury, and they're trying to save somebody's life in the first few days that they're there. Most of these cases are life-threatening conditions, but you need to start that process of engaging and try to obtain some information, because at the same time, some of these cases, even so, there's a high level of acuity, and some of them might even not make it. Some of them improve very quickly, and if we don't address some of these issues, it might be a transfer or a discharge that it might not be the best for the patients. That means the earlier you get in there, the better. You need to have open communication. And with the nurse case manager or the adjuster, whoever is working on the file, it's important to right away give the family this feeling that we are with you all the way, because this is a horrible situation. This family is having to face maybe somebody with a spinal cord injury for the rest of their lives, or a brain injury, or an amputation, or any of these issues, that's what determines a catastrophic injury. It's a long recovery, if there is a full recovery. And it's very, very difficult for the family to deal and to avoid problems with the treatment, and also litigation, because if you make the family understand that you are on their side, you're going to do everything you can to avoid any problems, from no complications and no other issues, the family will feel that you are being supportive and will be less likely to have a litigious attitude towards the situation. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is for the best outcome that you can have. You need the family engaged. You wanted to get this process going, because it will be very important later on. You might need to see what's the family situation. You know, we all know that Every family is different, you know. There is no such a thing as a non-dysfunctional family. I think every family is a little dysfunctional, some more dysfunctional than others. And we need to understand how this family functions, how it's going to work out when the patient eventually goes home. And that's not decided on the day of discharge. This is decided when we are there, we start analyzing this. Because if you start thinking about this dynamics, this home dynamics, on the day of discharge, it's too late. Because now the discharge is already there and you didn't prepare, you might not be the best case to discharge a patient home. That means these are things we can discuss in another moment. But just to understand that the earlier you get involved on those things, the better.
Those are great points. So what no one expects to have these catastrophic injuries. I do reinforce the importance to be prepared as you're discussing. There are a lot of different moving parts on these claims files. And when we have these injuries that are life-threatening, it can be life-threatening. You talked about getting them to the hospital immediately and how hospitals aren't created equally. There are different hospitals. Some are what we call trauma centers. Can you talk a little bit more about the trauma centers, kind of how they're classified and kind of the idea behind having those identified long before that catastrophic injury actually occurs?
Yes, that's a very important point because not only all hospitals are not necessarily trauma centers. There is trauma centers that certain hospitals will have a trauma center involved. And the trauma centers, they have different levels. They can be a level 3, a level 2, a level 1. In general, for this kind of cases, you expect a level 1 trauma center to be the one that takes care of this patient. Why is that important? What really qualifies these places as such? When you have somebody that comes in that has, let's say, multi-trauma, and you have abdominal issues, heart issues, a spinal cord injury, you might need immediate surgery, be neurological surgery, maybe general surgery, orthopedic surgeon. Sometimes they have to be done on the same OR. Sometimes you have two or three surgeons working on the patient at the same time. Not all centers have this doctors on call. Some of them will have the doctor at home. Some will have the doctor on call maybe hours away. Those are the different levels. The trauma one will have all the main specialties that need to be addressed right away in-house. That's what qualifies them as a trauma one. And why is that important? Because we know that, you know, if you have somebody with a brain injury, if you evacuate that hematoma earlier, less damage you're going to have to the tissue. Same thing with spinal cord injury. Also, if you don't have the structures, it's not just the expertise of the doctor. You can put all the best doctors in the world in a hospital, but if you don't have the structure, you have to have the best imaging systems. Everything has to work quickly and move fast. That's why not everything is created equal. And most states have several trauma one, good trauma one centers. And that's something you right away you see, is this patient being taken care of by some regional hospital that barely see any cases like this? And that's the next important thing that you need to understand about this centers is that it can be, and this is going to go the same way when you talk about any rehabilitation center. It's like, how many car accidents do this center handles in a year? One center might handle 2, and another one might handle 400. Obviously, the one that handles 400 has way more practice in how to manage these cases, whatever they are. The difference in terms of the numbers of patients that you have. Another very important piece, and that's, you know, Patty is a registered nurse, her background. You need to have a very high ratio nursing for patient. That means you can't have a hospital that has a nursing ratio of 30 to 1 and expect that this is going to be a trauma center. These patients need almost 101. That means the ratio nurse per patient has to be extremely high compared to other places. It's not difficult to necessarily determine which ones they are. They're out there. I'll be much more concerned that the patient is in a hospital and they don't want to transfer or the family doesn't want. Sometimes you might have to help that decision. Sometimes the patient is so unstable that it's very difficult to make that transfer, but sometimes it's worth the risk. All those things have to be judged as we get into files.
Thank you for that. So you started talking about the treatment of the injured worker. Can you go a little further into how to treat the injured worker for the best possible outcome?
You need to keep in mind one important thing. They're saving the patient's life. That's what they're doing in the beginning. And it's not unusual to address what is the most important first. Let's say somebody has what's called a cardiac tamponade. That means that the heart is bleeding and it's stopping the heart from beating. That needs to be addressed first, then the femur fracture, because obviously he's person is not going to be alive. Unfortunately, there's these levels of severity that this hospitals, they focus on. But most of them, the better centers are able to stage this and do the super acute issues and then slowly address all the medical issues that the patient have. Because you don't want a patient to leave an acute center and go into rehab or going to a step down for an ICU if they are not ready. Because you guys have seen the yo-yo effect that you have when the patients are released too early and they still have medical issues that are unstable. They end up going to rehab and they come right back because issues happen. I work in rehabilitation, obviously, that's my background for years, and I'll admit patients and I'll discover a tibia fracture that nobody noticed before, or maybe a radial fracture. And that's not unusual, and that doesn't mean that the center is a horrible trauma center. It's just they were addressing every possible issue before. These cases are extremely complex, and sometimes it's easy to, when somebody that's not very responsive over brain injury, to miss, you know, if there is no deformity. Even sometimes with deformity, they're missed. And some of it is because there is this push that the patients need to be discharged as fast as possible. But that's a whole another conversation. We don't need to go there. But that's part of this whole process of discharge, discharge, discharge. And sometimes some of these things are missed. But one very important piece is that if the centers address all the medical issues of the patient and they're able to be at least somewhat stabilized before they leave, it's quite common to go to a rehabilitation center and still have a lot of issues that are not even close to stabilized. But a lot of centers can handle that. And we can, in the future, we'll probably talk about centers of excellence. And you see that some centers are able to handle certain situations that others can't. And that's something you need to keep in mind also. Another very important thing is if the centers, they consider the psychosocial issues of the cases. You know, as we discussed before, you need to have places that immediately have social workers involved that are communicating with family. I know how many of you have had the experience of having somebody in the hospital and you get absolutely no information whatsoever. People are begging for information. Then they tell you tomorrow morning at 10, the doctor will say something. It's like, who wants to hear that when you have a relative in the ICU? That means that kind of communication and realizing that's important to address those psychosocial issues and help the process in that way. Another thing that before you go that far is you want to address with the family, because you start having this communication. It's quite common in acute care hospitals that they don't engage a social worker. They don't start communicating with the patients, and then the patient stabilizes. And then the doctors arrive there on Friday morning, and the administrator come to him and says, we need to discharge 30 patients. And he has to go and figure it out which patients need to be discharged without realizing that most of them can't even go home yet. That means those are the differences between a good center and a bad center. A good center start planning discharge the day the patient is admitted, even in acute care. And I've seen that because I've been part of it, and they work very, very well. They have a very good social worker system, and things run much more smoothly. The best care, it's not necessarily the cheapest.
So on that same line with the cost of care and the return on the investment we have in the world today, so when you hear the saying penny wise and pound foolish, how does that apply to catastrophic cases?
That's a very important piece because sometimes we wanted to make sure that we control costs, and that's obviously important. But sometimes with catastrophic cases, we know in this case, anybody that has experience, you know that this is going to go into the millions most of the time if they are truly catastrophic cases. And the idea that if you save a couple thousand dollars not giving the proper medical equipment or a proper transfer to a more expensive center, because that will increase the cost, what ends up happening is, and that's something that is a very strong philosophy of Midwest, is that we invest very heavily on the best outcomes in the beginning of catastrophic files, because in the end, these files have such a better outcomes. And what really carries a lot of expense in the long term in CAT files is the end point of these patients. And if you do a very good job in the beginning and give them all the chances they can for the best outcome, you might have somebody that does not need help at home or somebody that might be able to be more independent. And then you're talking about a lifetime of savings instead of being so concerned that we spend another $50,000 here in the beginning, and then you're going to spend $1 million more on home health care because this patient didn't have this. That's been a very strong philosophy. I've been with Midwest for 7 years now. And that was one of the reasons I joined, because it's a company that really focuses on what's the best for the patient, for the injured employee. Because in the end, in these specific cases, of course, the catastrophic cases, because in the end, it's actually savings for everybody. And everybody's happy in the end.
Those are all great points. I know with handling these extremely complicated, catastrophic-type injuries, we've learned there's many different definitions of success, depending on the actual injury and the person that was involved in that injury. So can you tell me and describe a little bit about what a good outcome would be from a trauma center or that acute care setting where they first receive their care?
Thanks, Betty. Just put it this way, the simplest of them all, obviously, is the survival rate. You know, you need to make sure that this is a center that is able to handle some of these cases. And in the beginning, as I mentioned before, you need to have high-level ICU, high-level doctors and nurses that can deal quickly with any emergency or acute issues that will pop on this initial. And not all are the same way. And the survival rates are available if you look into them. As I mentioned before, I think it's important to make sure that they stabilize all the medical issues. The centers that can do that are the best. What's the expertise that they have in this hospital? And were they able to address them and help this patient at the highest level possible to avoid missing any issues? I think a good outcome is that somebody doesn't come with a fractured tibia to the rehab center or come in with a sugar of 300. And, you know, people are like, okay, that sounds good. And a lot of these things do happen, as I said again, because sometimes they're too busy, sometimes because they're just trying to save the patient's life. One important issue also is this another thing that I think there is a misconception about this, that rehabilitation starts when they're transferred to acute rehab. And that's not true. We start rehabilitation almost on day one. You need to have an immediate evaluation by physical therapy, occupational therapy, and obviously, if necessary, even speech, but in general, the patients will be intubator or something. But all of this has to be done immediately, and the process starts, because rehabilitation doesn't start on day of discharge. It starts on the day of admission to the acute care.
Said like a true rehab doctor, right?
Yes.
So at Midwest, we try to connect all of our partners in a way that makes a difference. Can you tell me about a time you connected with someone in a way that made a difference?
Yes, I think that my connection, it's been a very important piece for me and one of the main reasons I came to work here and continue enjoying the work in here is to be able to still be very clinically involved on the cases. I'm directly involved in all the catastrophic cases and dozens of pain cases on a regular basis. And I think my experience have actually taken care of these patients in acute care and also in acute rehabilitation and done this for decades, you know, because I'm not a spring chicken. I've been around for a while. I graduated from medical school in 1986. Then you can make your calculations how many years. That means I've been around, and because sometimes we need some form of predictions. What do we think is going to happen? And experience is the most important thing to give you an idea when you look at a case and you say that this person really is going to necessarily get better, because you have to look at so many different factors. And I'm very engaged on that piece. And I think our partners and customers, they really enjoy when I'm able to sort of give them my impressions, where I think this case is going to go and what we should predict. And that's not just me, of course. We have three catastrophic nurses, and their experience is amazing. They also have decades dealing with these cases. And we are able to sort of help with that process of leading these cases, because most customers or clients or whoever we're helping on these cases, they don't deal with these cases on a regular basis. This is it's catastrophic for the patient, it's catastrophic for them, because they don't know what to do. I think that's what we do personally. That's how I help. And of course, we have our CAT unit that's the best in class. And I'm not just saying that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your expertise today and also sharing the information about the CAT department at MEC. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, Fernando. For everyone listening, we would like to thank you for connecting with Midwest Employers Casualty. We hope MEC Connect has made a positive difference in your day, and stay tuned for future episodes of MEC Connect.